and we're going to continue on with that, which we have to recap just a little bit, and then we'll go on to what we got for this morning. God is good all the time, right? I believe it's over in Isaiah 60. It says he gives the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, right? How many knows you're the one got to put it on? It's there. I don't care what you're going through. I mean, I have come to this church before and been at home before and be like, it seems like the hordes of hell in every area is coming against me. But how many knows there's times that your praise and your worship is a weapon to the enemy? The Bible says draw out of the wells of salvation. The Bible says also the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. Hell may be coming against you. You might not have enough money to pay all your bills. You may be going through a divorce. No matter what's happening to you, how many knows the joy of the Lord, you can't do nothing with that. The devil can do all that he can. People can do all that they can. But as long as you have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you and you're yielding to it and you're letting it out, there's nothing he can do with that. I remember one time we was just learning some of this stuff, and most of the time we had no money to do anything. But anyway, we didn't have the money this certain week to pay our phone bill, and we hadn't had a phone for very long. And we'd went to church, and things was getting to me, and I wasn't really understanding, you know, how to not let them. Because how many knows your mind is yours? But I did not know that even as a Christian for years and years and years. My mind is my mind. God gave it to me, and I'm the one supposed to control it, right? I'm the one supposed to take the word and renew it. But anyway, we didn't have the money to pay all of our bills, and they was going to cut the phone off and different stuff, and this stuff was kind of getting to me. Well, anyway, it was a we went to church, and we had a visiting minister, and that's, I believe it was the same time that he prophesied to you. But anyway, his name is Roy Ralph. And he's a prophet, and he was there, and he called me up there, and nobody knew anything about us. We didn't tell all this stuff. And he called me up there, and he told me, he said, the Spirit of the Lord, he said, is going to come upon you. He said, he's going to send the enemy into derision. He said, and you're going to laugh. And I'm thinking, what in the world? I don't even know what you just said. Well, the next day, lo and behold, I go to the mailbox. Nothing has changed. I go to the mailbox, and when I open the mailbox, I pull out another bill that I don't have the money to pay because they're already cutting the phone off. But when I pulled out this bill, the joy of the Lord came right up through here, and I laughed all the way back across the road. That's what he's talking about. So it doesn't matter what you go through or whatever. God has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Did you know depression is most of the time just what you're thinking on and yielding to how you feel? Some people, I don't even like to ask them, hey, how you doing? Because, you know, you're going to get a long list of negativity. There was somebody in here a couple of weeks ago, I think, and I wasn't even thinking about it. Anyway, I was walking past him, and I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, good morning, how you doing? And he started to say something, and I said, well, it wouldn't do you no good to say otherwise. I said, oh, you're good. I said, you're very good. Why? Because the Bible says God calls those things that what? Be not. I don't feel good. I don't look good. I don't sound good. Nothing's going good, but guess what? I'm good. Why? The good one lives on the inside of me, right? So by faith, I exercise an act of my will to say out of my mouth. Why? The Bible says in Mark 11 that I have what? Not what I pray. He says, I have what I say. So it's not going to do you any good to keep saying how you feel, because all you're going to do is keep getting more of how you feel. You say what the Word says, and it can change how you feel. Why? How you feel is temporary. Have you ever took inventory and noticed how many different feelings you can have in one day? I can feel like I love Scotty in one day so much that I want on the inside of him. And by that evening, I can feel like I want to rip his head off. Oh, y'all getting way too quiet. We're talking about me. We're not talking about y'all sweet little Christians out there. We're going to talk about me. What's that mean? It's just a feeling. And then the next day, it'll be another feeling. And the next day, it'll be another feeling, right? So we don't walk by how we feel. Any carnal Christian, any sinner can walk and live by how they feel. But how many knows we're called to be different? And we are different on the inside. But the trick of it is, or the thing of it is, that God's calling us to do, he says, work out your own salvation, right? Healing has come on the inside of you. According to 1 Peter 2:24, you have already been healed. Doesn't matter how you feel. I don't feel healed. Well, that's why you call it. When you have a dog and he's not there, what do? here, doggy, doggy, or whatever your dog. Why? Because he's not there. What are you doing? You're calling it. Well, quit calling sickness. Quit calling disease. Quit calling poverty. Quit calling lack. Quit calling things the way that you see them or the way that you feel them, and call them the way the Word says that they are. Why? They're temporary. The Word is eternal. So therefore, anything that's temporary is always subject to change to the Word of God, right? That's just a little side note, I guess. Oh. So if you're feeling down, if you're feeling depressed, check up on what you're thinking on. The world will tell you, well, you need a pill. No, you don't need a pill. You just need how to learn to walk by faith and not by how you feel. And control your thoughts, control your mind. Because of whatever thoughts you're having, if you let them stay long enough, your feelings will line up with them. And then when your feelings lines up with them, it's a lot harder to yield to the Word and the Spirit of God than it was before you started all those feelings. Now, let's go back to, we've been over this, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Christians are called to live by faith all day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Not just when I have a need. He walks with you. He talks with you. He tells you he is his own. You are his own, right? He lives on the inside of you. So therefore, whether you feel him or you don't, he's always with you. And he even gave us a promise, right? I believe it's over in Hebrews. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even unto the end. Well, I don't feel like it. Stop feeling. Just believe what he said. His word has been tested over thousands and thousands of years, and not one of them has ever failed to come to pass. So we have no reason why we can't believe him. We have no reason why we shouldn't trust him, right? So here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 9. This is going to be the Amplified Bible, so if you don't have the Amplified, best got it on the screen for us. Verse 9. Now he's writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, but concerning brotherly love for all other Christians, you have no need to have anyone write you, for you yourselves have been personally taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you already are extending and displaying your love to all the brethren throughout Macedonia. But we beseech and earnestly exhort you, brethren, that you excel. What's that mean? Grow in it. Develop in it, right? In this matter, more and more, to make it your ambition and definitely endeavor to live quietly and peaceably, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we charged you, so that you may bear yourselves becomingly and be correct and honorable and command the respect of the outside, we would call that the lost world, being dependent on nobody, self-supporting, and having need of nothing. Now go back up there to see what he says there. He says that you're going to be taught by God. God's going to teach us, and he is teaching us. Amen? Just like he told them, we're already walking in love with one another. I mean, we've heard the testimonies of it. We give to one another. We help one another. And I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about Christians out there. We help one another. They're our brethren, right? But God has said, come on up a little bit higher. Right? Because how many knows none of us in this room or on this planet has reached the full stature of the love of Christ? Not a one of us. You compare us to Jesus, there's probably 80 million things that we ain't got yet that we're not walking in yet. But God's saying, that's okay, that's good where you are, but come on up, right? Now let's go over to John 13, and he's going to teach us how to do that. Every situation, every circumstance is not the same. When's he going to teach you? Well, usually when you're there. Here in John 13, verse 34 and 35, this will be the Amplified again. Then we know it's Jesus talking because it's red letters, right? He says, I give you a new commandment. Now, the old commandment was to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? Well, he says, I'm going to give you a new one. He says that you should love one another. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Christians, right? He's talking to his disciples. He says that you love one another. He says, just as I have loved you. That is a mouthful. The Bible says he loved him to the end. The Bible says no man took his life from him, but he laid it down, right? Why'd he lay it down? For us. Because if he didn't, there was no salvation for us. We are doomed to hell. We cannot walk or live or have the blessings of the Lord or anything. We cannot be healed, right? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But the Bible says he laid his life down and he did it by faith. How do I know he did it by faith? Well, when he's praying over in the Garden of Gethsemane, we can see a little bit of how he feels, right? Because he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and the Bible says that he's got so much pressure upon him that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Scientifically proven, you can get under so much pressure to the pores of your skin open up and let out tiny little droplets of blood. And he's praying and he said, God, if there be any other possible way, any other way, God, what? Let this cup pass from me. But what's he say? Nevertheless, not my will. Not my will, but your will, God. Your will be done. Well, the only way that we can love like he's talking about is by an act of our will, by and through faith. Because this is a supernatural love of God that the Bible says in Romans 5:5 has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. It's supernatural. How many knows natural love runs out? I get tired of you probably after 7 times, not 490. Right? Maybe that 8th time I'm going to smack you. I'm talking about natural love. Because how many knows, naturally, you only can go so far in patience. But in the patience of God, which is a fruit of the Spirit that every born-again believer already has but must be developed, the Bible says that he is the God of all patience. He's long-suffering. How long did he wait on you before you got born again? I was in my 20s. Some people's in their 50s. Some people's in their 60s. And most people don't get born again the first time that God deals with them or the first time that they hear the word. Well, I thought faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. It does. But how many knows you got to put some action with what you say that you believe? The Bible says over there in James, it says faith without what? Works or action is dead. It does you absolutely no good. So you hear the word, and then what you got to do by an act of your will is act on it. Act like it's true. Believe it. Do what it says, right? The Bible says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've already been saved. He's not coming to die again. He did that one time, and he did it for everybody that would ever be born on this planet. But how many knows? By an act of your will, by believing what you heard, and you act on it, bam, you're born again. Why? Because you received, you believed what he done. Because it wasn't because you was good enough? No. We all deserved hell. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, we wasn't giving him warm and fuzzies and good feelings and all that stuff. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. Amen? He laid down his life for us. So whenever we look at this, when he says that you love the brethren just as I have loved you, it means you love people when they don't deserve it. Woo, we're getting way too quiet in here. See, I can't say who deserves it because I don't deserve it myself. According to the Word of God, it's a free gift. It's by His grace and His mercy. And the Bible says His mercies are new every morning, and I thank God for them every morning because most of the time I feel like I used up every drop of yesterday's. But every morning His mercies are new. So if I'm going to be like Him and I'm going to love like He loved, guess what? My mercy's going to be new every morning for you. You may have used up every drop I could possibly walk into the day before, but right, we're called to be like Him. We're called to love like He loves. Well, somebody does something to you. I remember Jesus whenever He was talking to the disciples, and He was talking to them about faith and everything and talking to them about forgiveness and all of that. And Peter, he's always usually the one that spoke up the most. How many times should I forgive my brother, Lord? And he thinks he's really doing something big. You can tell by the way he says it. 7 times? I'd probably stopped at 2. But anyway, Peter said 7 times. What did Jesus say? 70 times 7. Do y'all know that equals 490? And he talked about in a day. So do you realize the love of God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, it never comes to an end. My God is love, and you cannot get to the end of God. the love of God, the true love of God that's in our spirits, it's non-ending. Amen? So that's how we're supposed to love. Now listen, ain't none of us got there all the way yet, but we're supposed to be growing and developing, excelling in this. How do we grow and develop in it? We operate in it. We yield to it. We exercise it. The same way that you take a barbell, if you want to gain muscle, you exercise it, right? You do it how many ever reps or how many ever times, and then the next time or the next week, you increase. That's what he's telling us. We love, he's saying, but work out, increase. Somebody asked me the other day something about some garbage. They had let somebody put garbage in their can, and the dogs had tore it out a couple of times, and they picked it up, you know, and they're tired of picking it up, Johnny. Woo, we're getting really quiet. Remember, he's going to teach us how to love. And here they come asking me, and I mean, I can't really tell y'all this stuff. I'm not the teacher. He's the teacher, and he's going to teach you in here. So when you're in the situation, don't be asking people, ask him. What does the word say? Well, anyway, they're asking me what I thought about that they should do, because they're tired of picking it up. And they let them know the dog had tore it out again, you know, and I seen it laying there, you know. And I said, well, and all the time I'm thinking, God, I don't want to answer this question. How do I answer this question and all that? And I thought, just all of a sudden I thought, well, you could go on and pick it up again. I said, what if they need you to show them unconditional love? See, God loves unconditionally. I don't have to meet requirements for him to love me. He loves me because he's love. He didn't start loving me when I got born again. He loved me, the Bible says, before I was ever born. Right? Well, they said, well, I'll think about that. I don't know what they did with that. But how many knows, probably if you got to ask, you usually already know the answer. It's just not what you want to hear. But the Bible says he's going to teach us. And he's going to teach you during those kind of times like that. Amen? So he says for us to love the brethren as he has loved us. Notice 35. He says, by this, not by your church going, not by how much money you by faith say you got. Come on now. Money's on the bottom of God's scale, but it is on his scale, right? The Bible says Jesus took upon himself poverty. Why? That I might be made rich. Why? I got to work for God to do. I've got people to bless, to be a blessing to. You do too, right? I can't do that without money. Now, yes, I could pray for you, but if I can't even afford to put clothes on myself, how am I going to help put them on you? So he says there, by this shall all men, by what? By this love that you have. This unconditional love. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. He did not say feel it. You can love somebody you can't stand to be around. And if you think not, that tells me you don't know what love is. Love is not a feeling. It's an action. The Bible says God so loved, he did what? Woo, I felt good. Y'all remember that song? I feel good. Da-na-na-na-na. God was just singing that, wasn't he? Because he just loved us so much. He's just singing how good he feels. What did he do? He gave. That is the number one expression of love, the love of God. It gives, right? Remember one of the titles was Live to Give? But see, a lot of times we like to quote that scripture, give and what it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Woo! We can all quote that one, can't we? You better go back and read all the scriptures above that. Because that what that context is what you giving out is what you're going to get back. That whole context of that. And he starts out talking about love and loving people. And then he ends up, because it's not in he didn't write that in chapter and verse. It goes on, the scriptures after that says, judge not. Why? He says, lest you be judged. Why? Because God fully expects, he's poured out his love to us. He showed us his love. He showed us his grace. He's revealed to us his mercy. We've walked in it, right? He says, now you take everything I've given you and you unconditionally go and show it to everybody else. He says, by this right here is how all men's going to know you belong to me, that you are mine. Now, and that is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job. And if I'm really doing that, I won't even have the thought of what you're doing or you're not doing. what my husband is doing or my husband's not doing. Why? Because I got a full-time job on me, Johnny. I just don't have time for that. And if I'm really walking in the love of God, the Bible says the love of God thinks no evil. Now, we think evil one thing, but we could say that this way. It thinks not a bad thing toward anybody, right? The Bible says it's ready to believe the best. Oh, come on now. It's ready to believe the best of every person. I'm working on this one. I've been working on this one for a while. I put on a little thing on Facebook. I know Johnny's seen it because I seen you comment or whatever. But it says something down the lines, don't talk to me about nobody. Don't tell me nothing about nobody because I ain't trying to hear all that. Somebody start telling me something other and I'll be like, and it, you know, they're not necessarily trying to say anything in a bad way or whatever, but it's not making me see the person in a good light. So I just got to where I say, well, they probably didn't mean it that way, or that's probably just the way they come across, you know. You're just maybe taking them the wrong way, you know. And people's told me, well, it's good to just believe that about everybody. Didn't it say to? Ain't that what I was supposed to be working on to do? Listen, I know things about some of y'all in here. Scotty's my husband, and I ain't even told him. Why? Because I'm working on this. What good would it do for me to tell him something that would cause him not to see you in a good light? Is that what God does? God just runs around, Samantha, telling you all my faults. No, never. Now, there'll be sometimes if I need you to pray for me or something or somebody needs prayer, God will bring something up. He's done that to me before. But the reason why he does it is because he can trust you. And if he can't trust you, he don't tell secrets to other people. But if he can trust you just to pray for people and leave it at that, you'll get called on by him to pray for people and pray for people and pray for people. I know people going through a divorce right now, four different families going through a divorce right now. I have not opened to my mouth to Scotty or anybody else, not one time. Why? Because I'm trying my best, and the Lord helping me, and that's what he's showing me. He's teaching me how to love like this. Because, see, I can't be walking in love towards you when I'm telling everything about you. Y'all getting what I'm saying? So if I'm going to do what the Word says, I must believe the best of every person. Somebody told me something one time about somebody. Yes, it's been years ago, I guess. A couple years ago, anyway. Told me something about somebody, and while they're telling me, I said, I just don't believe that. And they wasn't telling me nothing bad. They was just telling me a situation that was going on with them, you know. Like, we do way too much talking, people. I know I do. Way too much talking. The Bible says a wise man has what? Woo, a lot of words. He just talks and talks and talks. Phew. The Bible says it'll increase to much more ungodliness. Right? Because that tongue, if you ain't careful, that thing just gets to flapping and a flapping and a flapping. And before you know it, you get home and be like, gosh, Lord, why did I even say it? I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to have to repent of that stuff anymore. But anyway, they're telling me something about somebody, and I said, I just don't believe that now. And they said, well, blah, 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 whatever they was. I said, I just don't believe that. I said, and I tell you what, when I get so-and-so around so-and-so, I'm just going to ask them about that and see if that's true or not. Well, lo and behold, when I got around that person, I got them, and I told them what I heard, and I said, I told them I don't believe that, and come to find out, it was true. But I didn't believe it until they said it. Not that it was anything bad. I'm not saying nothing like that. It was just a situation and a circumstance that was being told or whatever at the time. My point in bringing that up is the Bible says don't even receive an accusation against an elder, right, without two or more witnesses. Well, I should not do that to anybody. Why? I'm supposed to believe the best of every person, whether they're saved or whether they're lost or whatever. Now, if you prove to be different, I'm going to be aware of you, but I still got to love you. Right? If I tell you something and I know you're the only one that I told, and then 15 people it gets back to me they knew about it, I will tell you nothing else. Why? Because you can't keep your mouth shut. Ooh, God's hot today, ain't he? I don't need to tell everything I know. And one of the things that if we're going to do this, if we're really going to walk in the love of God, and I am getting way ahead of myself, we are going to have to develop self-control. Ain't nobody going to control your mouth but you. Ain't nobody going to control my mouth but me. But I can. Now, if you're just used to blabbing and blabbing and tell everything you know and make up some stuff along with it, you're going to have a hard time when you first get started. But you can. Why? According to the Word of God, Galatians 5:22 and 23, it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that His work accomplishes in you. But guess what? You got to exercise it. You got to work it out. Since I have been working on this part, I can't tell you how many things that I have just, it's been on the tip of my tongue, just out of habit or just have the thought at the time and gonna say it, gonna tell Scotty. One of the things that I have been doing that has been helping me to not do that and exercise self-control is think before you talk. I got one right on that. Think before you talk. Most time, a lot of us think afterwards. And I did that for a lot of my life, and y'all know, right? Quit laughing, Travis. You're a lot like me. More than you know, but you're getting better. We're all getting better and better. But one of the things that I try to start thinking of is, if I tell this person this, how is it going to make them feel? See, when God forgives you, He doesn't bring up your past to you ever. He never, you repent of that today and tomorrow, He gets upset with you and says, well, you know what you did back in 1949, don't you? Women, a lot of times, we're very good at that. Men, a lot of times, they can't remember what they did yesterday. Women, we get upset a lot of times, not all women, but we can remember what happened to us back when the day we met you. And a lot of times, we will bring it up if we've not been exercising. How many knows that's ungodly? When I say ungodly, it means not like God. Not Christ-like. Why? Because He doesn't do that. So if I think about things before I say them, love does no... You better write this down. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Whoever I'm around at the time. Well, my husband's not my neighbor. He's my husband. No, he's your neighbor. When you're around him, he's your neighbor. When I'm around my daughter-in-law, that's my neighbor. When I'm around Sandy, that's my neighbor, right? If we have time, we'll get into some scripture where somebody thought they was all that in a bag of chips and they asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? You know who your neighbor is. Whoever you're around at the time. So I started asking myself, is this going to bless him? If it's not going to bless him, why say anything about it? Because I want to talk about it. Y'all ever feel that? You just want to say it. I know y'all don't, but I do. Sometimes I just want to say it. I just want to tell it. Y'all ever heard somebody say something and they'll say, well, I'm just saying. What does that mean? We know you're just saying, but what does that mean? That means I disobeyed the commandment, the order, because of how I feel. I just want to say it. Well, I'm learning I don't have to say it. If it's not going to bless somebody, don't say it. If it's not going to encourage them, don't say it. If it's not going to strengthen them, build them up, right? If it's going to tear them down, don't say it. If it's going to tear down somebody else or cause them to see them in not a good light, just don't say it. But we're going to have to exercise the fruit of the Spirit of self-control to not say it. Because our flesh and the devil wants us to say a lot. The Bible says there is life and death in the power of my tongue. And that doesn't just mean life and death in the power of my tongue to me. I will eat the fruit of whatever I say. But how many knows I can say something to you that'll hurt you? People have said things to their kids when they're 4 and 5 years old and they're 50 and 60 and it hurt them so bad they've never forgot it. And those things have shaped their lives. Why? There's power. The word is true. There's power of life and death. According to the scripture, my mouth is supposed to bring healing. Why? The Bible says the tongue of the wise brings forth healing. Not cut you up. I could do that before I got saved. Cut you up 50 ways a Sunday, right? Just cut you up. Sarcasm is not of the Lord. That's a big one. It's just not of the Lord. Why? God is not sarcastic. He's just not. So if I'm going to be like him, guess what? I got to let that go. I used to, for years and years. Y'all remember that shirt? I can't even remember what it said now. Maybe April was. And I told y'all, you know, when God started dealing with me about down these lines or whatever, I couldn't wear that shirt no more. It said something like, I don't have an attitude. I have a personality you can't handle. Something like that. Y'all remember that? I went to put that on Wednesday. I really liked that shirt because that's exactly how I felt. because people got a problem with me. They got a problem with the way I talk. They got a problem with the way I look, you know, different things like that. And I'm like, the problem is not with me, honey. It's with you, and I'm going to help you with it. I went to put that shirt on one Wednesday night, and I got it off the hanger and went to put it on, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord on the inside here. He said, you can't wear that shirt and do what you're doing. Why? They're totally contradictory. If I'm going to be like him, I can't identify with that shirt. And it's not the shirt, it's the spirit of the saying. Not that I was in, listen, and the person that got me the shirt, they seen that's you to a T. And they was right. But how many knows if I'm going to become more and more like him, I must identify with who he says the new man that I have been recreated and born again in here is. He's not sarcastic. The Bible says the love of God is not rude, right? He's not unmannerly. He has good manners, right? He says, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, all this. Hand me the potatoes down there, you so-and-so. He's not like that. I hear families talk to each other like that. I hear dads and sons, you blankety blank blank, give me that screwdriver over. I tell you right now, you blank, and I'm like, what? And then they wanted to talk to my son like that. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't talk like that. Talk like that if you want to, but we don't talk like that. Like when it comes to my grandkids, so they hear certain people say certain things, and then they say it, and I'm like, hey, we don't talk like that. I don't care what so-and-so does. We don't talk like that. We don't act like that. Why? The Bible says love is not rude and it's not unmannerly. The love of God has good manners, right? And this is just, I mean, used to back in the day, people taught their kids good manners. You go to school, you say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, not, I ain't doing it, yo hag. Nowadays, they're at the school because their little angel that can't even find their halo is getting in trouble. I told Travis one time, I said, listen, they called me to come to the school one time in his entire life. And I told him, I said, listen, when I get up there, I better not find out you're the ringleader. I said, or you've had it. And when I said you've had it, he knows you've had it. I mean, we're talking about falling in the floor, can't breathe, had it. I'm not kidding at all. I was very abusive. I did not understand. One time Scotty told me, he said, Teresa, everything don't deserve a whooping. That was a foreign concept to me. I had never had the thought cross my mind. But it was like when he said it, it was God said it. And something went off of me and I was like, bing, I guess it don't. Maybe some things deserve a grounding. Now some things maybe they need a little far beat out of you, you know, deepen you down a little bit. Not everything though. But anyway, I told him, I said, I tell you right now, when I get to that school, they better not tell me you're the ringleader. Well, I go in there and I talk to the principal. Something had happened or whatever, you know, and I told her what I told him. And she said, oh, no, he's not the ringleader, but now he has been in there with so-and-so, and they did so-and-so or whatever. But see, a lot of people nowadays, they get love messed up because they think it's a feeling. I just love my kids. I can't let them do without. Your kids need to do without every now and then. Let me tell you something. There's a saying, and I'm telling you it is absolutely true. It says, soft times create weak men, or you could translate that to people. Hard times create strong men, or you could translate that to people. What have we done? Because we've got the love of God messed. Why? Love will correct you. Right? God says, the people that I love, the ones that I love, I chasten them. I correct them. Why? Because he loves. And he sees you're going the wrong direction. Then the devil's going to eat your lunch with this. And he's going to steal and kill and destroy. He loves you. Well, that's how we are supposed to be by our kids, right? He's the ultimate father. He's the one that reveals all this stuff to us. So he even has to teach us how to love our kids and our grandkids. I'm having to keep Scotty on the reins. Now, I'm telling you, he was one of the best daddies you could ever ask for. That man, you talk about patience. I mean, I'm having to work on patience with the grandkids. We're trying to make cupcakes yesterday, and Aubrey says, Grandma, are you upset? And I'm like, no, Aubrey, I'm not. But that stuff, it tries to get me in a frenzy. You know what I'm saying? So I have to work on that area. Where Scotty, I mean, Travis got upset at him one time. He's little, went out there and let the air out of one of his tires because he didn't get what he wanted or whatever. Now, maybe he should have spanked him for that. Maybe he should. I don't know. But my point to all of it, Scotty was a very, very patient father. I don't think he's ever even, has he ever raised his voice to you? In 32, 33 years, I don't think he's ever even raised his voice to him. Has God ever raised his voice to you? Then why is some of us screaming and hollering our children? Ooh, you could hear a pin drop. Do you realize how much abuse that is? When you scream and you holler at people. I don't want nobody screaming and hollering at me. You know what screaming and hollering does to me? If I'm not yielding to the love of God, I'm going to punch you right in your nose. It ain't doing nothing for me. I can't hear one thing you're saying to me. And that screaming and hollering at people and at your children is so abusive. But yet, you, on the other hand, you'll be down on people that get the belt and whoop their kids. When the Bible says, what's the Bible say? Spare the rod, spoil the child. It didn't say go out there and get you a big stick and beat them over the head. Right? It talks about how discipline, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. But the rod, not your screaming and hollering, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. And I'm not talking about beating your kids either. You hear what I'm saying? There's a difference in correction and beating. I'm not talking about leaving bruises and different things like busted lips and all that on your kids. That stuff is abuse. But just like God himself, he will teach you, just like Scotty, I've heard and heard the stories. He had a desire. God, teach me how to be a father because I don't know how. His daddy with him was right the opposite. I think he's, what did he smack you, one time? Your entire life? Now, one of his sisters is here today. She can tell you, he got away with murder nearly, didn't he? Listen at her. It's not funny. All the time. You know what he grew up to be? One rebellious hellion that you ain't going to tell him nothing. And it caused him so much trouble in his life. And then he comes over here with God, and one of the first things God starts having to do with him is break down that rebellion to authority. Why? He can't keep that. Can't keep that if you're going to serve God. Why? God's not like that. Rebellion is of the devil himself. It is his nature, right? And before we got born again, by nature, we all had it. We all walked and lived in that rebellion. But the Bible says we get born again. Now we have a new nature. And we have to learn who and what that nature is and identify with that. I am no longer from the hood. I see that on Facebook sometimes. And I liked it, just like the shirt, like I said. See, you like to be a little bit of Christian, but I'm telling you, don't cross me. You'll know where I come from. Y'all don't see that stuff on Facebook? Some of y'all probably put it on there. I think I probably have before. I wouldn't doubt it. Put it past me. Now, I wouldn't do it now because I'm learning, I'm growing, developing. I'm doing, you know, trying to obey the Lord even more or whatever. But when you put that stuff on there, what are you saying? I'm identifying with the old man. I'm a Christian till you do me wrong. I'm a Christian till you get up in my face. I'm a Christian till you don't do what you said. Now I'm from the hood. Now we're going to get down like we used to. See, you can't walk in the love of God and do that at the same time. The Bible says what? If somebody smites you on the one cheek, what? Punch them out. Turn to them the other one. Right? Have y'all ever heard of that book? It's called, oh my goodness, I thought about it before I said that. The Cross and the Switchblade. Yeah? Monty has. I think you have before, but you may have done forgot because I think we heard about it up yonder. But anyway, it's called The Cross and the Switchblade. Now, what it's about is David Wilkerson. He's gone to be with the Lord now. And a guy called Nicky Cruz. Now, Nicky Cruz, he was I can't remember if it was New York City or where, but it don't matter where it was. Anyway, he was one of the top dog gang members in this big city or whatever. And there was other gangs, and there was the black gangs, you know. And I think he was like the leader of the Mexican or Latino, whatever it was, gang, you know. And you know how that goes. A lot of different gangs or whatever. Anyway, he was a leader of the gang. And David Wilkerson is ministering to him. He comes down there, you know, and he's preaching to these people on the street in different places, you know, and all this. And he's talking to Nicky Cruz and everything. And he's talking to him about the love of God. And Nicky tells him, pulls out his switchblade, and he tells him, he said, I'm about to cut you into 1,000 little pieces. David Wilkerson looked at him and tells him, now I'm paraphrasing, but he tells him, he said, yeah, he said, in 1,000 pieces is going to be saying, I love you. You know what happened? He ends up getting born again. Because of the love of God that God showed, through a man called David Wilkerson. Everybody's looking for love. I don't care if you think you are or not. The hardest, hardcore person, somewhere on the inside, wants to be loved. And the only thing that's going to reach them is the love of God. Why? Because they've seen Christians say, "Oh, I love you," till you cross them. "Oh, I love you till I borrowed $20 and I didn't pay you back." Woo, we get real big about that one, don't we? Our kids and our money, most of the time we get real upset about them too. What do you mean, my kid's halo? They can't even find it most of the time. Scotty, it's like when it comes to Travis, now this is years ago. I think he sees the light a little bit. And Travis is better. He'll be doing something, somebody say something, whatever. He'll be doing something, and Scotty be like, "I tell you right now, they better get off of him. That's my son, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Scotty, he's over at their house. It's not like they're at his house. He's over at their house. He can't even find his halo, Scotty. It's not on straight. You understand me?" I'm not saying see your kids or people that you care about in a bad light, but don't be fooled. I don't know why that keeps coming up. Why? Because you can't love them right if you don't see them right. Now, the thing about it is, God sees me, the miserable thing that I was and that I still am in some areas. But now He calls me what I'm not. He calls me what He says He's made me or whatever. But any time my behavior, my attitude, my thoughts, my emotions, my words needs correction, He will see it and He will call me on it. Amen? Why? Because He loves me. Good grief. I got 3 minutes and we ain't off the first, second scripture yet. Let me see here. Oh, my goodness, Jesus. Go to Galatians 6 right quick. Because we're fixing to have to stop because of time. Now, we've quoted this one, but I'm going to read it, and it's going to be in the Amplified. He says, "Bear, endure, carry one another's burdens." Notice what he says, "Troublesome moral thoughts, and in this way fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it." Now look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. This will be the Amplified also. He says, "Therefore, the prisoner for the Lord appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called." And he ain't talking about an evangelist and a pastor or apostle and all that. He says, called, he says, "with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service." He says, "living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness with patience." Notice what he says. "Bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another." He says, "be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace." But notice what he says there. He says, "bearing with one another, overlooking one another." Some of y'all got some ways, I really just gets on my last nerve. I have some ways, some personality traits or what, that really gets on some of y'all's last nerves. What do you say there? Make allowances, overlook them. The Bible says love covers, don't it? Monty spent the first 2 years that him and April was here asking April, "Am I mad?" Is that so, Monty? Why? Because of my attitude. The way I talk. The way I would look. Now, April had been around me. I mean, we worked together and different stuff like that. So she had been around me like much more. And she's just like, "No, that's just the way she is. You know, no, she's not mad or whatever." But Monty has some things I don't care for him. He gets a little OCD about some stuff. And I'm not saying nothing bad about Monty. We all have them somewhere. I guarantee you if I gave Monty the microphone, unless he was just so gracious, he could tell you probably quite a few qualities that I have that he really just don't care for. Or maybe he just outright can't stand. But how many knows if we're going to walk in the love of God, we got to overlook them. don't even pay no attention to them. That's just so-and-so. But see, carnal Christians, they can't. Oh, I can't stand that person. I just can't stand it when they say that. Well, start standing it. You're called to it. I'm called to it, right? That's why I said you can absolutely hate to be around somebody, can't stand to be around somebody, and still love them. Why? Love's not a feeling. Love is an action. You overlook those things that bothers you about. Now, I'm not talking about somebody kills somebody and you go cover that up. I'm not talking about lying for nobody or anything. I'm talking about overlooking things that just gets on your nerves. You know what? Things that gets on Scotty's nerves, they don't get on mine usually. And I'd be like, why are you sweating that? Why does that bother you? But now the things that gets on my nerves, he's like, Teresa, why is that even bothering you? You need to grow up a little bit, you know, or something other. It's just the difference in me and him. It's the difference in me and you. Things that gets on your nerves that bothers you about probably your husband or your wife or co-workers or whatever wouldn't even bother somebody else. Hey, and listen, honey, some of them would like to have them, so you better be thankful. In case you ain't noticed, they ain't a whole lot of good men left out there. They don't know how to be. They're trying to be women, a lot of them. They don't know, even know how to be men. So you better be. I seen a thing last night. I got to stop with this. I seen a thing last night on Facebook, and the question that said, some of y'all may have seen it. If it's on a Sunday night, about 9 or 10 o'clock, and your husband asks you to wash his work clothes, what are you going to do or say? And I thought, I want to read this. Because I thought, I know what I would say or do. I'm reading that, and someone's like, he wouldn't even have to ask me. It would already be done. Somebody's like, yes, he does everything for me. Yes, I would. Then here's one that says, I tell you right now, say, there's the washer. And I thought, woo, I know what you are. Hopefully she was not a Christian. Oh, my goodness. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments?